You have your goals, you have the things you want to do, you have to filter them down to one output. That's what obsession is. Obsession is filtering down all your life experiences into one output. The last few weeks especially, I've been on another level. I don't turn off, don't stop. My brain has not stopped moving since I woke up. I think I can do it because I'm young. I have so much time, 27. I feel like I already know what I'm gonna do forever. I have the bedrock, I have the compounding vehicle. Like my core truth, my one thing, basically words about obsession.
In today's episode, we have Zach Pogrob, and I'm going to say this in the nicest way possible. Zach is an absolute maniac. When it comes to content creation, I think he's one of the best out there. In the last 6 months alone, he's gotten over 2 million followers across Instagram, TikTok, and now YouTube. And really in this episode, we went deep into what's one of the pillars of his brand, which is obsession, helping you. How can you find your unique obsession? And then how can you build a loyal, dedicated audience? One of the things I always appreciate is he's so authentic and real. Nothing is off limits. He talks about everything and it'll take you deep into how he did it. I think if you're interested in content creation, if you want to take your content creation to the next level, if you want to build a career out of content creation, or if you just want to find what your obsession is, your life's work, the thing that you're meant to work on, I think this is going to be a really powerful episode for you. Before I get into it, one huge favor to ask, please subscribe to the channel. It really benefits us more than you know. We're on this crazy trajectory to get 100,000 followers in 3 months. I would absolutely love it if you were part of it. Please subscribe. Now onto the show. I was reading your newsletter a few weeks ago, and I just want to read out this passage that you wrote because I thought it was such a powerful way to start. Extremes have always felt like home. In spring of 2019, I was an EMT for 6 months. I was about to graduate college with a half dream of becoming a doctor. Really, I knew I'd never go to med school, but I did this anyway. This was the same time I started posting on Instagram. I started a business. I got in the best shape I'd ever been in. It's not a coincidence. Looking back, I think this helped me start my dreams without thinking or without procrastinating. Okay, so it's just powerful stuff. But you know what? I like to start in the beginning, which is give me the context. Why did that experience in the spring of 2019 launch you to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, that was my last semester of college. And that for a lot of people, I think is like this really important, like, what is it, 4 months, where like you're about to go into the real world, to use like a cliche, like you're about to be done with your fake life in college. You have to go figure shit out. And so your question was why was it such a monumental time?
Mm. Yeah. Why did it help you launch what you're doing now?
There was the pressure of leaving school. And like I was, dude, that month I was like doing interviews to be a medical scribe in like a hospital, getting paid like $10 an hour, right? Mm. I was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. Like, can you imagine me doing that? Like, I can't imagine that now. And so I was doing the EMT stuff while I was also doing my photo booth business at the time, right? So I was basically spending my time, you know, spending like 12 hours a day on an ambulance. And then I'd go and spend like whatever, like 7 hour, 8 hour shifts working at weddings. Mm-hmm. And that was while I started the Instagram. So that's what I mean. It was almost this like few months of like surreality. I think that's a word, mm-hmm. where things almost didn't feel real because I had this pressure of leaving school and I was freaking on an ambulance, which I never was. And I was at all these weddings, mm-hmm. and I was posting on Instagram for the first time. So it was like all this shit was happening at once. And I think that stuff that I was doing, these two extremes, made life kind of feel like a joke. It's like, what's real anymore? And so that helped me set this ridiculous goal of like, oh, I'm just going to start posting online every day forever. And I almost didn't think about it after that. It just happened.
Mm. Talk to me about that first line. Extremes have always felt like home.
It's so true. It's so true. And I realized this more this year that's how I am. Like when I run now, right? And I'm working with this coach and sometimes he'll give me like paces to stick to, right? Mm. But with running, especially marathon training, it's basically like you have easy days and hard days. And on easy days, I am easy. I'm like barely moving. But on hard days, I am like burning myself into the ground, on or off, easy or hard. That's what I mean. Like extremes have always been what I enjoyed. I never liked the middle, you know? I never liked the normal path. I never liked normal things. And I think that's the result of like feeling like it's the result of a lot of things. I think a lot of it is just like I always felt like an outcast in life since probably beginning of high school. Mm. And so I think that's what led me. I think when you feel like an outcast, you literally, you know, you get outside what's normal. And I went and got very comfortable in these things that were very different. And yeah, it definitely makes life feel different when you feel like you're on the outside, when you put yourself in these extreme situations. Like, that was my life. I would in that semester, I was, you know, finishing school, I would ride on this ambulance and see the most insane shit, like in upstate New York, where there was just drug addicts everywhere in this town. And then I'd go to this wedding and have a suit on and, you know, flirt with girls, and it was great. And then I would go and be writing Instagram posts in between, and like nothing felt real, which was amazing.
Mm. There was a liberation in just how crazy it was.
Correct.
The extremes, the contrast.
Yes, it made it feel like, like our friend Dylan Jardin, he texted me the other day, like, life's silly. Like, just go do whatever you want. It was kind of like that. It was like, oh, none of this matters. None of this is, not, this is all just this game. I'm going to go do something extreme, which is like set this goal to be this creator, entrepreneur, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, was there any difficulty to embracing that? Because I think there's so many people that they would resonate with what you said, which is feeling like an outcast or having an ambition that is fundamentally different from everyone else around you. And I think so often what's difficult about that is actually accepting that you are that person. You want to be like everyone else. Was it difficult for you to accept that, or was it natural?
It was the result of a lot of failure in my life, I think, where I just felt like, okay, I can't succeed at the normal path for whatever reason, right? Like I failed at college soccer. I was always hurt, was never playing. I failed going to med school. Like, I did okay, but I would have probably barely been able to get into med school even if I really tried, right? So like that made me really comfortable with like, okay, I'm not going to do normal things. They're not working for me. So I need to go do this extreme stuff. Does that make sense? I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah. No, that does make sense. Talk me through the decision to go hard on content. You kind of mentioned you had this really ambitious goal of like, I'm just going to make it on Instagram. Like, I'm going to just go for it. Talk me through that. Was there like I find often there's like kind of like a switch point, because there's different levels of being committed to something, right? Like, I guess it's a certain level of commitment just to start an Instagram account, but then to post and to test and learn about the platform to the depth and with the obsession that you do is a whole different level of commitment. When did that commitment level really get dialed in, where you're like, this is my shit, like, I'm doing this?
Okay, so we are in upgrade season. This is about upgrading your work, upgrading your pay, all of those things. And that brings us to the sponsor of today's show, Free Agency. Free Agency represents and manages talent in the tech industry. They provide you with a dedicated talent agent that helps you find and win top of market roles. So if you're looking to build your dream career today, check out Free Agency. Go to the link in the description. Thank me later.
I think it was building up for years. Like, I had the name Behavior Hack in my notes for like actually 2 years. Have the proof. 2 years before I started that Instagram. So like 2017. And so I think it was like all of this built up desire over years, right? Like, I loved watching these YouTubers growing up. I loved watching people with audiences. They helped me so much. And I don't remember the day I started it. I don't remember that day. And that's a good lesson. It's like, I've realized this lately. Your obsession will be obvious, and it will happen without a decision, I think, right? Like, the last year, right? Like, I set goals for last year, but the things that changed my life completely, they were never goals that I sat down and wrote about. They just happened. I had this thing that hit me. I had this idea, and an uncontrollable wave of like energy and action took over me and just did it for me almost, right? Like those videos I made last year, the animated videos, which we talked about last time a lot, never wrote that in my notes. I never consciously planned to do it. And the content in 2019 was kind of the same. I never consciously sat down to do it, at least not that I can remember. I would have remembered if it was like, I'm starting this day. I don't remember that. I just remember being in my college library, studying freaking whatever organic chemistry I was doing, and like, no, I'm gonna go make this little infographic for Instagram and try to post it and like read another article about gaining followers. That's what I mean. Like, your obsession, if you're trying, you can't, is a very thin line. People think obsession is about forcing something to happen, but it's not. It's actually the complete opposite. It should happen without force. It should happen without you even thinking about it, because it's that natural to you. And that's what it was like when I started. There was no reason for it to work. Like, there was no proof I had, but I never ever doubted that it would work, ever. I had like 10,000 followers by like the summer, which is like whatever, but like I never ever doubted that it would work. which is like a weird thing to like realize. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I think is maybe the most impressive thing from knowing you and also just observing your content is like the, what I would call the clarity of thought. I think you have, it's very interesting because you kind of thread this needle between, I wouldn't say that you have a niche, not definitely not in a niche in the traditional way that people think about a niche, but then in the same way, you're very focused on something. So it's not like you just talk about, it's not like you have no intention or no focus, but then you also don't have a niche. And so I think it's interesting for people because I think you're right. I think inspiration and like genius kind of just strikes you. You don't get to decide when it happens. A lot of my best thoughts have happened in the shower, walking around, like they happen in random moments, washing dishes, like sporadic moments. It's never actually when you sit down and focus. However, I think there's so many people that are, they want to do content. They've had that thing of like, okay, I'm meant to do this, but they don't know what to talk about. They can't figure out the niche. They can't figure out like, what is my thing? And you're someone that has so much clarity on what your thing is. Can you just explain kind of what is that process of getting to the thing that you should be building an audience around, that you're going to stand for?
Sure, yeah. The simple answer is it took me 4 years and like 2,000 Instagram posts to find it, right? So that story of how I really 100% committed to obsession was like same thing as starting the Instagram. There was no conscious plan. I was, last March, you can find the tweet, I was out for a run, right? Which is like now funny because back then I was kind of just starting getting into running. I was out for a run. I finished the run. I had my phone died. Or sorry, my phone, I tweeted it. So my phone must have had some percent. But my phone was like dying. I actually think my phone had like 1% when I did this, which changed my life. I pulled up my phone.
And why do you say it changed your life?
This moment. I'll tell you the moment in a second. I pulled up my phone. I realized that I had follow obsession in my bio for like a year. So I was already talking about it. I was already tweeting about it a lot. But in that moment, I put out to you, I'm like, if you're one of the obsessed, put a black flag in your bio. Like, let's start the movement. And, you know, hundreds of people did it on Twitter. Thousands of people did it on Instagram. Or maybe a few hundred on Instagram, whatever. A bunch of people did it. You remember that. Mm. And that moment completely changed my life. Literally, because I realized, oh my God, this is my thing. People love this. And I did never plan that. I just did it right away after a run. Mm. Same idea. And so with the niche question, it's like you have to, the only way to find it is to produce relentlessly. That's the hard answer. And so it's like choose something to create. And ideally it's something you're already doing, like a medium you're already interested in or obsessed with or some form you think you have a gift in. Mm-hmm. And you just have to commit to a daily output. That's what I truly believe. Like that's why the obsession year is so great. I was going to make it more of like a public challenge. And you know, if you're listening to this, you can do it. The My First Million guys kind of did it. They like put it out there and people started tagging me, but it's like 1 year of obsession, create something every day for a year and you'll either get really good and obsessed with that thing or you'll find something else along the way. But it's really just putting out all of this stuff and then seeing what the audience likes, what you like talking about and what no one else is talking about, right? Like those three things, that's like a good tactical answer. And once you find that, like mine was obsession and it was so obvious. It's like, oh, no one's owning this word. I love talking about it. It is the perfect word for my journey and who I am. And every time I post about it, it does well. So this is what I'm gonna talk about forever. If you don't have a niche, like I think that's super important. Like that's how you find it. You find it through creating stuff and then it finds you. The more tactical thing, if you're someone who's already been creating for a while and you're like trying to like nail this more, is you have to, this is how I think of things. I tweeted this the other day. It's like, be strict with your message, but flexible with the medium. So like me, my core message is obsession. That's it, one thing. But I have no commitment to any mediums, right? Right? Like my writing, back then, someone could have told me like, dude, you're a writer, just stick to writing. But instead I made videos, those got hundreds of millions of views. And now my writing gets, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of more views. My writing doesn't get hundreds of millions of views right now, but because videos do better, but you know what I mean? And same with the YouTube stuff I'm doing now. That's why I'm doing it. Because it's like, it's going to bring more people into the world. And so it's like, there's that. And then there's also naming. This is something I've realized. I think my biggest gift might be naming things like, you know, obsession, the obsessed, the dark place, which is like my favorite term I've ever came up with. Naming things is how people remember you and them. It's like people remember you and your ideas. No one names things. It's insane to me, right? It's like naming is how you become a node in someone's mind outside of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And more than that, it's like people don't, I don't want people to, if there was no obsession, right? If it was just me ranting about stuff, no one's lives would be getting changed. Not that I'm changing that many people's lives, but like, I think my ideas are in some way. And it's like, because there's this thing, obsession, that people can attach themselves to and identify with, it brings them in. It's the link. Mm-hmm. Obsession is the link. If there was no obsession, it would just be me and them. And it would just be me and them. And yeah, it'd help them, but it's different.
Mm.
So yeah, I'll stop ranting. You can ask me something else.
No, that was so, that was really good. And I love that you framed it around like, you have to produce relentlessly. Because that's the, when it comes to the conversation about what do I focus on or any of that sort of thing, or what's my niche, the problem is like a lot of the people that are asking that question are not producing. They're just thinking. And you tell me this if this is correct for you, but this is what it was for me. When I found the thing that was starting to get traction, it was only obvious in hindsight. It was only obvious once it was getting traction why it was. But I wouldn't have known that thinking forward without producing.
Mm-hmm.
It was the production and the iteration on the production was what got me to the spot where it worked. I couldn't short circuit that process. That's what I see people do a lot. They try and short circuit the process. Tell me the topic. What's the gym trending theme or whatever that I can focus on that's going to go viral and I can build this brand around? It doesn't work that way. You produce first. And then iterating on the production will give you the answer.
Correct.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know what? I've seen a few people doing like Andy Frizzella's 75 Hard. When you said obsession year, that's what that sounds like to me, which is like...
Inspired by.
Yeah. Just doing something every day and that's going to cause the change. But it's action first. That's the key. Let me take you behind the scenes for a quick second. For the last year, I've been producing this podcast with a very small team. The only reason I've been able to do it is because of the sponsor of today's episode, CastMagic. CastMagic is a software tool where you can upload any piece of content into it, and it's going to generate a transcript of the content and then give you a bunch of insights based on that transcript. So I'm talking about summary of the content, timestamps. They even have an AI feature where you can ask it questions about the content you uploaded and it will give you answers. This has been a complete game changer for us in producing this podcast. And here's the cool thing. It helps far more than just podcasters. Any piece of content, so video content, audio content, even audio memos and ramblings that you just have on your phone, you can put into CastMagic and you can start generating these insights and extracting the value instantly. So here's the thing, right? Because I've hooked you up. Use the code, the link in the description, CallumFreeMonth, and you will get your first month of CastMagic free on us. Thank me later. Back to the episode.
That's the thing with the obsession year. So like the way I was going to do it, and look, if you're listening to this, you can go and do this. I just didn't make it like an official thing on social media. I'm going to do it myself this year. And then
you're doing it.
I'm doing it. So like I figured like, let me do it. And then next year we'll make it a big official thing, posters, whatever. But it's like, you have your goals. You have the things you want to do. You have to filter them down to one output. That's what obsession is. Obsession is filtering down all your life experiences into one output. Mm. It's like, and that for me, that output is YouTube. Posting a video every day. Long form video every day. And so that makes life very simple. I have been the happiest I've ever been since I've committed to it and started putting them out because there's just a freedom. I posted this the other day. There's a freedom that comes to having such an insane constraint. And I'm so excited about the idea of iterating like I'm going to. Every video is going to get better. And yeah, I forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah. You know what, actually, this is something actually you said in one of your obsession diaries recently. And I loved it. And I think it relates so well to this. Because I think the question that people will have is like, how do I know when I've hit on that obsession? Like, how do I, maybe it's something that I'm just super interested in that moment, but it's not actually like almost like my life's work. Like it's not my obsession. And I love the way that you worded this. You said, this was you talking about soccer actually. how you knew that it wasn't an obsession for you. You said, I was just so uninterested. And that to me is a sign of not being obsessed. It's like when you're obsessed with something, you literally want to spend your entire life in that world. You want to watch every YouTube video. You want to listen to every podcast. You want to go to even YouTube videos that only have 200 views. It should turn you on in a sick way that you have this edge. That's what obsession is.
What it is.
Yeah. Fucking good, man. Okay. Let's go to the next step. So that's almost like discovering the niche or the topic or whatever, the obsession that you're focused on. Talk to me, because I think one of the things that you're phenomenal at, and I think this is how it will actually prove out in history when we look back at what you've done, is building what I call movements. Like, you build movements, which is not only do you name things, you rally an audience around this thing. And so talk me through that process, because there's so many people that want to build followings. They want to build like loyal followings, people that actually like truly are bought into what they do. Tell me how you start to think about that.
Yeah, like I said, this really started last March when I put this thing, put a black flag in your bio if you're one of the obsessed. It's really when this game started. I've iterated a lot over time. This is what I'm going to do forever. Let's make that, like, I'll make that clear. Like, I'm going to build the obsession movement forever. Mm. And I could talk more about like what I actually want it to be in the grand scheme of my life. But in terms of building the movement, it's like, you have to let people live in the world. That's how I think about it. And so it's like, let people experience it through my writing. Let people experience it through short videos. Let people experience it through quotes. Let people experience it through videos, movies, playlists, songs, right? You want to make a world that someone can enter. And ideally, the way this really works, I read this somewhere once years ago, is you want your world to have all these different challenges and like jungle gyms, and it should work without you. So like, you don't need to be there. I'm not obsession. I'm not. You can call me the obsession guy, but like, I'm not obsession. It's this world that you can go and explore with or without me. You know, you can go and start running. You can go and start running. You said you're getting into running. Mm. Run for the first time. Put yourself in the dark place for the first time. You see that video with Ben Scharf on my Twitter? He's like, I just went to the dark place. Never experienced that before. And you have the word, the dark place. That's part of the movement. Now you know you can reach there. Mm. Without that word, you don't really know what you're chasing. Mm. And so, you know, the obsession year, that's another piece of it. Now someone can be like, you know what, for this year, I'm obsessing over this. And so the way I look at it, it's like that. You have all these different pieces that just become this world someone can live in, and it helps them change their life. It becomes a piece of their identity. That's why they put it in their bio. It's paying attention to what they say to you. Mm. I think the best terms, like I talk a lot about naming things, the best names don't come from you often. They come from your community. Because think about it. You're inside the bottle, right? Mm. That's a great Jack Butcher line. Or he quoted someone. It's like, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. Mm. You're too close to the work. You need to see how other people talk about it, how your fans and consumers talk about it. Because that's how people communicate about it. And so the only other thing I'd say, which is really tactical, is like, make one thing for your community every day. So I try to do something every day, whether that's like a cool text post about obsession, that's kind of like the minimum, or it's, you know, a cool obsession wallpaper, right? Mm. Like those wallpapers, those are a great example of living in the world. So people look at their phone 200 times a day, every time, follow obsession on the wallpaper, right? Mm. It's there for a reason. Mm. I want people politely brainwashed to be obsessed, because that's what changed my life. Mm. I'm so obsessed with this, dude. Like, I'm obsessed with, people ask me what I'm obsessed with. I think this is what I'm really obsessed with, building a movement. And you kind of made me just realize this, like, I'm really obsessed with just building this movement. Mm. Right. And like, you know, the artist, athlete, entrepreneur framework, that's another framework that people see themselves. Some people like that more than obsession, but it's still part of the same world. And yeah, this is very early. Like, imagine what a decade looks like.
Mm. Powerful. Powerful. You know what? You mentioned experimenting, and I want to get really tactical with this one, which is one of the things that absolutely, it shocked me actually from our previous episode, learning this about you, is one of your biggest strengths is in design. People completely miss that. But like, The amount, and it's funny because I think we went through a period last year where like I would text you this. There would be like big celebrities who are reposting your stuff. And it's not even just the message. It's what you're doing with like fonts, typography, using colors. And I don't so much want to talk about like that specifically. It's more so the experimentation. It's like, what's the process of you innovating these styles? Because even with the obsession year, I saw like the video you did and like the intro, and it's almost like this retro kind of Star Wars-y looking thing. But it's like,
it's inspired by Disneyland. Yeah. The same font as Disneyland.
It just like breaks through. Can you talk to me about that process of experimentation? Like, how do you get to this design that is just distinctive and this style, which is like so you and no one else is really doing it? Like, how do you get there?
Well, you kind of asked two questions. You asked like about experimenting and then you asked about design. So like, I'll answer both. The design piece is like, that part is really hard to teach, I think. It's like you either have an eye or you don't. Like, I've saved pictures to a mood board every day for like years.
Mm.
Do you do that?
No.
Yeah. No offense. It's just like, it's like a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah.
That's why I have just so much data on what I like and what I think is unique. That's what a style is. A style is just taste for years and decades that becomes uniquely yours, I think.
Mm.
And so that's like the design piece. I could talk more about that, but in terms of experimenting, it's like, I'm always on. I think you're always on. My favorite people are always on. So when I'm scrolling through Instagram, I'm wasting time scrolling, but I'm also always on paying attention to every single pixel of every single post I'm seeing and why it's working and why it's working and why it's not working, right? Oh, this person's reel went viral. Oh, they have a tiny account. That means they're doing something really right. What's going on here? What are they doing new? Are they doing a lot of it? Is someone else doing this? Is this new? And then it's like taking bits and pieces from everything you're seeing working and blending it with your design style.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the experiments. Every little day, little things you're testing. If you go through my Instagram, scroll down, you'll see years of experiments. The style has changed so much. But like that design thing you're talking about, changing the font to like this handwriting font, mm-hmm. got my writing millions of more views this year, last year, 100%. You know, 100%. The meta always changes, you know? And like I've said, my goal with everything I do is to create the meta. I'm doing it right now with a new thing. I don't even know if I want to share it, but I will. It's run diaries, right? Most people posting on Instagram are posting running videos and they are just like super edited, super fancy with music, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Mm, yeah,
like workout videos on Instagram.
Oh, like very highly produced, like lighting is perfect. Like all this
with like the sounds on Instagram.
Yeah.
They're cool, but they're lame. No one wants to watch that. So instead, I'm like taking like, I see the transparent stuff really working online, right? Like Sam Sulek, all these guys. Mm. I'm like, oh, let me just do that on a run. And I did it. And like my second video got like 700,000 views. Mm. Went viral on Instagram and Twitter. So like if a video goes viral on Twitter, that means it's really good. You know, it's like, I think. And so like, that's an example of how I think of an experiment. It's like, take these pieces, combine them. Mm. And like, oh, now I'm going to create a new meta again. Not to be like cocky, but like, plenty of people post themselves talking while running. Mm. I'm not saying I created that, but I'm saying if I go hard on that, thousands more people are going to start it. Mm. And that's how you win an experiment. My animated videos were an experiment, right? It's like, you have to always have that part of your brain on.
It's the obsession.
And it's the obsession, 100%.
It's like, you know what I was thinking actually, as you were explaining that? I think sometimes we overthink what it means to be creative. People think being creative is like, I don't know, like you come up with this just pure original thought. I think a lot of creativity is born out of seeing something work in one domain and then applying the principles of that to another domain.
Correct.
And so like, even when you're consuming this content, it's like, oh, that worked over here on YouTube. What if I take that and use the same principles on Instagram?
Correct.
And that is creativity. Correct. Like that is it.
Creativity is combination.
Yeah.
Like a kaleidoscope. That's the analogy I love. Take all these things and you mix them up. I think that's what a kaleidoscope does, right? Mm. Like turn them together and it creates this new image and it's great.
Yeah.
I might be describing a kaleidoscope totally wrong.
But it's, someone's listening like that is not what it is.
Some kaleidoscope expert. Like, come on.
Yeah. And you know what? I saw this tweet that you put out, which I actually think kind of encapsulated exactly what you just described, which is last year you kind of went through this period where, like, I think you actually said it in one of your tweets, 2 million followers in 6 months. And you said, I made two shifts with content last year that completely changed my life, got me millions of followers and thousands of true fans. I narrowed the message and widened the medium. First, I committed to one core idea, and then two is experimented with new formats.
I kind of talked about that earlier. Yeah, strict with the message, flexible with the medium. That's how you freaking win. That's Disney. That's the Disney model. Strict with the message. You know, these movies that feel like magic and feel like love and feel like home, and then flexible with the medium. You can feel that everywhere, from a movie to a TV show to a doll that your kid plays with.
I'm curious, what are your thoughts on platform? I see a lot of people, especially people that want to get started. There's so many platforms that you could do it, right? Like there's TikTok, there's Twitter, there's LinkedIn, YouTube, all this shit. Everyone has a different theory on which is, oh, TikTok is great right now. You can go viral on TikTok. Or it's LinkedIn is super easy, like easy reach on LinkedIn. Do you care about that at all? Like what's kind of your advice to someone looking to get started and thinking, which platform do I go for?
I don't know. That's kind of tough. I think there's like the obvious answer, which is like go on to platforms with that are giving new people the most reach. I would say right now it's like Instagram Reels probably.
Probably
Instagram Reels, but it's like you should probably do the one that you spend the most time on. It's the one you most understand, or at least the one that you could post on every single day. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
But then again, sometimes you don't know. Like, dude, Twitter is the best.
Yeah.
If I had to choose between my Twitter and my Instagram, it would be tough. I think I might choose the Twitter.
Yeah.
Even though it has 25,000 followers versus my Instagram, which has 1.5 million. Just because the Twitter is so, I don't have to make content there. I just tweet what I think, you know, which becomes my content, but it's usually like, it's kind of the same, but I do more stuff on Twitter that's more like raw, you know? And so like Twitter's the best. But it's like a lot of people have never been on Twitter from Instagram. I'm like, dude, get on Twitter. Trust me. Just tweet your thoughts and it will work.
You know what's like, I think it's, I was going to say something very similar, which is like, I think this is really like a solo player game, which is what worked for someone else won't necessarily work for you. Like the whole game is figuring out what's going to work for you. And so I always say like, just start with what's the easiest. And that's the thing with Twitter for you. And I think for a lot of people is just writing stuff is way easier than going on video for most people. Because you don't even have to show your face. Like, it's just easy.
Then again, though, I feel like growing from zero on Twitter is kind of hard. Right?
Yeah.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I think the cool thing about Twitter, though, is that you'll start correct, which is like just being authentic.
And people don't, though. That's the problem. People mess up and they're not authentic and then they build the wrong audience. It's harder to be authentic on Twitter in the beginning. You'll grow less. If you just tweet your thoughts, you'll grow less. But now, like, I can basically tweet whatever I think and get instant feedback on my thoughts. And that's amazing. I don't have to make content on Twitter. I never view it like that. You know, I'll post like my more like produced stuff there. I'll post like the Instagram writing on like a fancy thing, but most of my tweets that are good are just like how I'm thinking, which is amazing to have that.
You know, one of the things you said that was interesting was like, I think it's interesting the way that you think about it of like, I'm creating this world. I'm creating different places within this world that people can go into. And I think actually at the heart of what you're doing is like this core of authenticity. The part of the reason that the world works is because it's real. So can you talk about that? Because I think sometimes when creators say like authenticity, people don't even really get what that means. Like, can you talk, what does that mean? Being real, like the authentic.
There's just no filter, I guess. Like, most people have a filter between themselves and how they put themselves out into the world, especially with content, right? I think there's so few creators actually being real. I think the opportunity for what I'm doing is wide open, you know? Who's out there just being real and not making content? Like, no one. The window is wide open, you know? I think the way it works, if you want to build a community like that, it has to be a core truth from your journey. It's like it starts with the core truth and then it grows to the community and then it grows to companies down the line. I'm just getting to like that third part, right? Mm. That's how I think it works. I feel like that's how I think it works. It has to be a core truth that you have to go on the journey yourself. And that's why I waited so long to do YouTube. That's why I've done everything in order. And I think I've done everything perfectly, honestly, not perfectly, but like things have gone according to plan, the way that I deserve for them to go. Mm. I didn't deserve to be ready to do YouTube, you know? Mm. I didn't, because my actions weren't there. Wasn't running like I am now. I wasn't creating like I am now. I wasn't in shape. Like, I didn't deserve it. Mm. And so it has to be real, and people can know when you're faking it. They will know. If I tried to do these YouTube videos 6 months ago, people would know. They would know 100% that I'm faking it. Mm. And they would never listen to me again.
That's actually the worst. I think as humans, we have really good like BS meters. Like 100%. We can tell when someone's bullshitting. I think the thing that I've seen actually in content is some creators are so charismatic, they can actually authentically bullshit. Yeah. The thing is though, you get exposed. And then I think the second that people see it, that you were like, it was a trick or it was a lie, like you weren't who you portrayed yourself to be, like over.
Over.
Like if you betray the authenticity, it's the blow. It's like the lethal blow. Like it's over.
100%.
You know what? Talk to me about going viral. Like, I think you spend so much time, or we all do, like experimenting, iterating. Like most of what we do is complete failure. Like it doesn't go anywhere. Talk to me about those moments when it does work, when you get those spikes, and talk to me about that.
Like why it happens or what it feels like.
Why do you feel it happens? If you had to boil it down.
There has to be some newness to it, right? Mm. Something new about it. And that newness can come from a unique personality, can come from a unique idea, can come from a new division of an idea. That New York City video I made, right? It went pretty viral. It got like almost 1 million views, which is crazy because I never post myself doing videos ever. Mm. And I did it on a run. And it went viral because it was divisive. Half the comments love New York City. I said, you should move to New York or you'll regret it forever. Mm. Great hook. Because literally that's what people think.
Proud of that one.
I'm proud of that one. And it's like half the people love New York, half the people hate New York. And they all commented, you know? My other viral videos, it's like one of my most viral ones is you need an alter ego. Half the comments are like, so true. Half the comments are like, I just committed murder and I'm going to jail. Like, you know, joking. Like, you know, there has to be something that people haven't seen before. That's why you can't teach virality. That's why I'm so against like courses and things like this for content creators. And, you know, it depends on the outcome you want, right? Some people just want to make a living from content and I don't know, do something that has been done and just do an average job. And sure, maybe there's a course that can help you do that. But to have the extreme outlier outcomes with something like media and content and really anything in life, you have to do something that no one could teach you or that you can't learn online. You have to learn it through like meeting a person at a random, you know, dinner after a random lunch, like, you know, that's how I view virality. You have to have something new. And if you think about this with short form platforms, the way to think about this, and this is how I always think about it, is people, you have to imagine millions of people scrolling their phones all day, waiting for something new to make them stop scrolling. Mm. There has to be a reason. And you posting a workout clip or you on a podcast or you doing what everyone else is doing is not going to make that happen ever. Mm. So if you're a creator who's stuck making the same videos for years, not getting traction, you have to obsessively you can't just put out content every day. You have to obsessively hunt that newness. That is the only way. And even then it's not guaranteed.
That's so good. You know what it reminded me of as you explained that? I always say I actually have a note of this in my phone, is genius is at the edges. And I think a really good example of this is Elon Musk. Because I remember growing up, like electric vehicles were the most uncool. Like if you had like a Prius or whatever the fuck it was that was like electric, like no one wanted that. Like they were like slow. You had to like charge it and shit. No one cared about that. And Elon manages to like live in this world where like he's the guy that's pushing electric vehicles when no one wants to do it. And now obviously it's kind of the cool thing. And like you see Teslas everywhere, but it's like genius is at the edges. It's not with the herd where everyone else is like kind of there. It's the people that are kind of on the edges. They're like outcasts kind of. And they just spend so much time obsessing over this thing. And then it's like the audience comes to them.
Correct.
People move to them.
You have to believe it before the world does.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember Nipsey Hussle has this thing when he says like, I'm going to butcher the exact quote, but he basically says like, all of human progression development is reliant on the unreasonable man. The unreasonable man makes the world adapt to him. Like that's banger. Where it is.
Banger.
It's so good. Okay. You know what I want to talk about actually? So I think when we spoke last time, it was kind of at an interesting juncture for you. So you'd been doing these animated clips, videos, and you'd been getting a ton of traction. Millions and millions and millions of views. And I think when we spoke, you were like very much still in that. You were still putting them out. Like they were still going viral every time.
Yes.
I'm curious how you feel actually. You've kind of found new formats now and you're working on new stuff. And even the message is slightly different. I'm curious how you kind of look back on that experience. Like, I'm sure that when you're experiencing it and every video, it's like new heights, new heights, new heights. It's almost like a bit dizzying. Is it something that you were like, that was incredible? Or you're like, maybe it was a bit too fast? Like, what's even the feeling now about that moment? Quick break. I have such huge ambitions for what this show is going to do in the next year. I want to take this show to an even higher level. What I'm talking about is better production and actually starting to put out episodes twice a week. Here's the thing though. In order to do that, we need to bring on the right sponsors and partners that support the show. But I don't want to do this like every other podcast where they just roll out sponsors to you that you don't care about. I want to choose the right sponsors for this show. And this is something that I need your help with. Go to the link in the description below. Answer 5 multiple choice questions. You can complete it in under 90 seconds. And this is going to give us all the information and insights that we need so that we can get the right sponsors for this podcast. And here's what I can promise you. If you answer those questions, we're going to take this podcast to an even higher level. Better guests, better production, more episodes delivered straight to you every week. Please help me help you.
I wasn't ready for it, for sure. And like the responsibilities that come with doing this shit for real. Before then, I wasn't making money for my content. I was just this kid posting on Instagram, right? So that piece, like I grew up a lot last year because I had to do shit for real. I had to talk to brands and negotiate and do business deals and get partners, right? I became ready because I wasn't ready. I guess you're never ready and you have to learn it at some point. Yeah, it was the most incredible time ever. Last year completely changed my life. Going viral like that, it is amazing when you do it the right way. If it's one video and like you're viral for like putting yourself in a bath of cereal, you know, then you're kind of screwed. It's like, all right, maybe you go on Ellen, but like it's kind of over. But instead, like I went viral over and over and over for my core message. Or around my core message. And I got millions of more people to see my writing, which is the real thing that matters. It's like, that was incredible. You know, last year I had incredible people I hung out with and got to meet, and they love Obsession. They like me instantly because they love Obsession. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't make those videos. You know, it wouldn't have happened. It may have, some of those people, but like I met a massive amount of people last year because I built my audience, you know? And the videos are still great. They still do well. I just don't post as many. And I'm going to start actually posting more in a new style soon. But yeah.
Can you talk about the monetization piece? Because I think so many people think that like, if you're just getting views, you're making money. Like if your favorite creator is out there getting millions of views, he or she is rich. Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that at all, especially on Instagram. I think that there is a partner program. It's not called a partner program. You do get paid for reels now on Instagram if you have a certain amount, but it's very little. I think I'd be getting like a few hundred a month, maybe close to 1,000 a month with like 30 million views on Instagram, which is like kind of crazy. That's pretty low. But anyway, so yeah, you don't get paid on Instagram at least. Outside of you have to go get money or people have to give you money. And so, you know, what happens when you blow up is you get sponsors and brands who reach out to you. That was kind of what I dealt with. That was what I did last year mostly to make money. And it was great because I never got paid for content. That was the best feeling in the world when I did my first video. It was with, I think, 5 Minute Journal, which is a big journal brand, and the owner has become a good friend. We did a video with them, and that was my first time really getting paid for content, after doing it for 4 years is like a euphoric experience. Like, holy shit, the thing I'm already doing now, I'm getting paid and way more money than I ever got paid for like an equivalent amount of work doing something else. Because content, it's like, to give context, with that first video, I made more money with that first video than I would make doing like 20 of those photo booth events. Think about that. 20 days spent driving, going to the wedding, sweating, unloading equipment. And now I'm posting a 30-second video and getting more money than that, 20 of those. It's a wild feeling. Super dangerous, super addicting. Because it's like, it feels almost like fake money. It's like, what did I even deserve this? And it's like, you want more money like that. But the problem is when you chase more money like that, you need more sponsors. And not every sponsor is as great as that one. A lot of them are worse. A lot of them, you're going to end up in email chains of 50 emails, which is not what, you know, over the last year, I really went through a transition of, I talk a lot about the artist, athlete, entrepreneur, right? And I think they happen in order. I really had to step away from like realizing that right now in my life, I am an artist. And now I'm becoming really an athlete too. But like, I am an artist. What I need to do is make my art, not spend, you know, all day in Gmail negotiating deals. But it's like, you have to get through that messy period. And now I'm getting out of it now. Like, now I have people representing me. I have people helping me with these deals. I have way better deals coming in, way better brands. And, but you have to get through that messy period and not let it slow down your content, which is what happened to me. I took on too many brands and that ruined my organic content. That's didn't ruin it. It slowed it down. That's why I've posted barely any reels because I have like 10 sponsorships to make right now. And, those get priority because they're paying me. So you have to be very careful with sponsors because you don't want it to mess up your compounding, which it kind of did. It kind of did for me. Right?
Yeah. You know what I think is actually an interesting angle to this is like, I get what you're saying that it messed it up on the content side because it was now like, it was almost like this other influence. It was like a distraction from being an artist.
Correct. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
The right way to do it is that you good collabs when it's, and it can enhance your art.
I think the tough thing from being a creator though is like, we still have like the reality of our lives. Like you live in New York, like this, it's the expense. And it's like, you've been also the context of you've been doing this thing for years and not actually earning money through the thousands of hours that you've been putting into perfecting this craft. And I think the difficulty is pairing being an artist with getting compensated and making money so that you can live your life. And I guess what are your lessons around that? Because that is a really difficult balancing act because it's not like huge brands are going to give you millions of dollars for one video or whatever. Like it's not at that scale. Yeah, yet. But it's like, I don't know, that's a difficult balancing act.
Yeah, that's why I say this to people. All that matters is keeping your obsession alive. So just like make whatever money you need to survive and keep going. Because especially if it's something like content, it compounds, you know?
The compounding is, that's actually the beautiful thing to like see over time, I think.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? You mentioned artist, athlete, entrepreneur. Tell me the defining, like what makes those distinctive? Like explain to me each one.
Sure. Like I just realized this over time through, it actually is kind of inspired by this James Clear quote. I like to give credit. Some people don't give credit for things, but it's like entrepreneur's mind, athlete's body, artist's soul, something like that. That made me like think of it. It's like, oh, the people I really admire, they're artists, athlete, entrepreneurs, right? Joe Rogan, definitely an artist with comedy and with his podcast. He's definitely an athlete. You've seen him like with his kick and everything.
Crazy.
Savage.
Yeah.
And he's a freaking great entrepreneur. He has like the biggest podcast in the world. And he has a bunch of companies. Who's another? Tim Ferriss. Right? Tim Ferriss, definitely an artist, wrote best-selling books, definitely an athlete, has won like judo competitions, has done all this random Tim Ferriss shit. and definitely an entrepreneur. You know, he's fucking made millions of dollars from startup investing and stuff before that. And it's like, when I think of an obsessed person, they do all of these things. The people I admire, you know, Nick Bear is another one. He's totally an artist with his YouTube channel. You know, he talks about his big thing is he loves being an artist. He loves creating. He's 100% an athlete, complete savage, and he's a great entrepreneur. VPN Supplements is a massive supplement company. And so my goal in life is to just reach the pinnacle of all three. That is my goal. My goal is to be, like, to not sound crazy, like one of the best artists ever, to be one of the best athletes ever, and to be one of the best entrepreneurs ever through the things I do. And yeah.
You know, everyone always talks about like focus, right? Like Steve Jobs was an incredible entrepreneur, but then if you actually look at him as like, and this isn't me casting judgment, it's just what people say. If you look at what people say as him as like a father or like in the family, it was lacking in that respect, but incredible entrepreneur. When you say you want to be able to do all three, you truly believe it's possible?
Oh, 100%. But I definitely think the relationship piece is hard. Like David Senra posted this tweet today about Ted Turner. The last line is so good. I'm going to misquote it, but he basically said the same thing that makes people capable of extreme greatness is the same thing that makes them really struggle in relationships. So I do think I'm capable. I just do think it will be hard, especially with relationships, because like the last few weeks, especially, I've been on another level and I don't turn off, don't stop. My brain has not stopped moving since I woke up. And that is very hard to function like a normal person that way. And, but I'm addicted to that feeling and I love it. So I do think I can do it. You know, I think I can do it because I'm young. Like I have so much time, 27, I have so much time to do this shit. I feel like I already know what I'm going to do forever, or I have the bedrock for it. At least I'm sure there'll be new mediums that open up. I'm sure there'll be new things I do that I have no idea about today, but it's like, I have the bedrock. I have the compounding vehicle. Like my core truth, my one thing is basically words about obsession. And I'm going to take that and I'm going to put them in little videos. I'm going to put them in podcasts. I'm going to put them in YouTube videos.
You know, I think we're very similar in the sense that I have a very similar thing. I am always on, and sometimes it gets to the point where like sleeping is difficult because I will go to sleep pretty fast, but I will wake up at like 3 a.m. thinking about something, just like on, just thinking. And I'm curious how it kind of shows up for you, because the obsession is the edge. Like the fact that you're always on is what is going to drive the success within this thing, because you're going to just go to places that it's going to be the separator. It's going to be the differentiator, but there's also a cost to it. Like if we're just being honest, there's a cost to it. I'm curious, are you ever concerned about that? Like what is the effect? What is the detriment to your life of always being on?
I don't know, but I think the detriment to not being on is way worse for me. Like I'm depressed when I'm off. And, you know, I feel like I don't know how to answer that question yet because I haven't obsessed for decades yet. I don't want to. That's why like I listen to people like David Senra and Founders Podcast, so I don't go down these paths that these icons went down and ruin their relationships and regretted everything. I don't want to regret everything, but it looks like, yeah, I don't think I have an answer. It's just like staying healthy and staying mentally sane and making sure the people I love know I love them and like keeping those relationships good, which I think I do. You know, some people have this gift. I think I have it, especially when I'm on, where they just answer instantly all the time. I think I do that usually. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that means I care about relationships, you know? Otherwise I wouldn't answer, because I do. And so like keeping doing that, that's the thing with ultra successful people. You notice they either never answer or they answer instantly. That's what I've noticed.
The extremes, yeah.
Yeah. I want to stay that way.
Yeah.
That means you're dialed too, because like you don't need to think about answering. You just answer. You're like, oh, I know exactly what to say. I'm typing it as I think. Versus like when I'm less obsessed, I'm like, oh, what do I say here? I had to think about this all day, you know?
You know what I call it? You spoke about naming things. I guess this is my attempt at it. I call it like instinct level. Like, I don't know if you've had this, you probably have, especially because you're creative, is sometimes my editors or like people will ask me a question and I'm so dialed into the content, it's like I give an answer without my brain thinking about it logically. Like, it's not like I think a thought and then say it. It's like, it's just there. This is what we do. It's like instinct level. Like, it's just, it's quick. You know where I want to go? I want to go next. I want to finish by talking about the YouTube stuff. There's this tweet that you put out recently, and I wanted to read it back to you, which is, you said, I'm posting a daily long form YouTube video every day for a year. This will be my obsession year. I believe 1 year of obsession can change your life. And this year I'll be living proof of that. Talk to me through the decision of committing to something so extreme, which is like, I remember Logan Paul saying this because he actually was one of the first like really big YouTubers that did like the daily vlog. And he's even spoken about that was like a grueling process. Like, people don't actually get it from behind the scenes what it's like to put out a video a day. It's a grueling process. So talk to me about that decision, deciding to do that.
Yeah, like the story of me starting content in general, it kind of has been boiling up for like years wanting to do it. But like I said, I never felt comfortable talking to the camera until like a few months ago, or really a few weeks ago. I'm still not really, but I'm getting there because I'm doing it every day. The decision was kind of based off like what I want to do. I don't just want to be a writer. And that's what it comes down to, right? Because most people say you're a writer, stick to writing, focus on writing, write books, write tweets. But like I said, I'm trying to build this world. I'm trying to build really what it's going to be is a religion. Not a actual religion, but the same mechanics as a religion. This thing people live by. And obsession, right? And what do all religions have? They have this figure, this person who leads the movement, and it's a natural result of their journey. So for me to make obsession what I really want it to be, I have to show the journey and I have to be fully obsessed myself and go down the path of obsession. And I think that goes beyond words. It has to. It has to be something that people can see and believe and recognize me as this leader. And I look at people like Jocko Willink, right? He's someone who really inspires me in how he built a world around himself and with companies and content and books. And I think people knowing his face and seeing him getting after it every morning in the gym is a big part of that. Mm. I think if he just wrote his books, that world would not exist, right? Mm. So, you know, I really want to start these founder-led companies with me as the founder. So I need to go get out there and show people what obsession really is through everything I do, through the artist, through the athlete, through the entrepreneur, things I do. And so, you know, and it just excites me. Who else is doing YouTube videos every day right now? Can you name one person except Sam Solik?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, no one. But no one's doing it with like the thing I'm doing, which is like talking about, you know, the art, the athlete, the entrepreneur. It's like, it excites me so much to do something no one can do and no one's willing to do, mm-hmm. you know? So that's part of it. And I just, you know, this is how I started making content. I did it every day. And so the way I'm going to iterate is going to be insane. And, you know, some people are telling me like, you're crazy. Like, don't do this. Like, you know, quit it. It's like, you're not good on camera, but it's like, I don't know. That excites me. Like that disbelief in me a little bit. And not that those people don't believe in me, but they're just like, I don't know. I get so excited about the idea of iterating every day. And I feel like I have this vision for what these videos can be and have, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people watching them. Mm. And now every day I just get to get closer to that. Mm. And it's so fun. It's fun to like begin at something again.
Yeah. You know what? Here's where I want to end. One of the things, and I love this, like this podcast is everything for me. But one of the things that really fires me up, it really lights an energy and a spark underneath me. I just love feeling like the doubt, mm-hmm. both from myself, but then from other people, like the people that like there was so much conversation, or like people telling me like, oh, the podcast is like so hard to grow, right? Mm-hmm. And I felt it firsthand. It was, but like, oh, you shouldn't start with a podcast. Like, you should do something like do the short form thing first and then maybe go to a podcast. And you spoke about like almost the disbelief people telling you like, oh no, you shouldn't do this. And I think so many people get discouraged by that, like their friend or something, their mom, their dad, their brother, like growing up, whatever. Oh yeah, you shouldn't do that. No one's successful doing that. How do you combat that?
You have to trick your brain into getting excited by it. You know, like for my first marathon I just did, the whole time, most people were pretty supportive of my goals, but Casey Neistat, who he was telling me the whole time I was telling him my goals, kind of saw my running journey. He's like, dude, you're crazy to go for a 3:15 marathon. There's no way you're going to hit it. You're going to die. You know, you'd be lucky to get under 4 hours. He might've not been that harsh, but like, he was pretty harsh. He was like, be careful, respect the marathon. And, you know, I freaking, and during the race too, he was tracking it with our friend Hunter. And still during the race, there was a time where it looked like I was dying. He's like, oh, Zach's done. It's over. And it felt so good to prove him wrong. Yeah. And that's when I realized, like, I love that feeling. So now, like, I have the same feeling with the content and it's going to be fun. And I don't really think about proving people wrong though often, honestly, because most people believe in me. I'm lucky, like, people are nice to me. But that's the thing. You can't get caught up in the nice people.
Yeah.
You know, you get so many yes people, which is just good people. I'm like that to people too, because it's nice. You need that. You need people believing in you. But there's a thin line between someone believing you and someone just like your friend and they're saying, good job, keep going, you know? But I think a lot of people do really believe in me. It's just, you know, you have to trick your brain to get sickly turned on when people doubt you, you know?
Yeah.
And like loving that as using it as fuel.
Yeah. I think I do a similar thing. It's just like, I almost, it's like you're creating the edge. And it's interesting actually, when you listen to like elite athletes, not even like all-star level athletes, like the elite of the elite, they'll do this thing where it's almost like, I call it like creating demons. Like they create ghosts. Like they create, like Michael Jordan did this. He'll be like, oh yeah, that guy was talking shit to me. And then it comes out afterwards that he never said anything to him.
That's so
funny.
But
like he just needs, you need something to, it creates like that spark, like the tension. It like triggers the chip on your
shoulder.
You
need the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, when I run, it's myself. Like I'm my own enemy.
What do you mean by that?
This is a whole nother thing, but like,
talk about that.
When I run, this is actually in the video I'm posting today. I like yell at myself sometimes. Like I'll be, when I'm on a really hard run, I've only done this like, I've done this actually a handful of times, but I will scream at myself to be like, faster, Zach, faster, go faster. And that voice is like the obsessed version of myself. I like posted him sometimes. That's the obsessed Zach. And his enemy is like me, like talking to you right now. It's like, he's yelling at Zach to like keep going. It's kind of funny. You just made me think of that.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend running it, yelling at yourself on a run. It'll make you go faster.
Yeah. Because it's like another gear. Like it's another.
That's how I view running and honestly everything I'm doing. It's like I have this alter ego. I've had him for years. And everything I'm doing, I'm just trying to become this person all the time. But realistically, that will take another few years or decades.
You know what's funny? You're like I said it right in the beginning, like you're the biggest repeat guest we've had. I think this is the third one.
Am I the only one?
Okay. Yeah, this is the third one. No, I've done some repeat ones, but you're like...
Did I come on before the in-person pod?
Yeah. You came on remotely. I think you were in, like, was it Long Island?
I must have been. I don't even remember that. Yeah. It's funny. Damn.
Yeah.
I want to listen to that.
I remember you were like outside. Like you wasn't even...
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But you're the biggest repeat guest. And I think about like, because there's going to be subsequent episodes probably. Let's just be real. There's going to be fourth and fifth and whatever. Let's just extrapolate it a year. Let's say that a year from now, I don't know if we'll be in this room, but we'll be in a room. There will be cameras. There'll be this setup. There will be the microphones, my laptop, whatever. What do you think we're going to be speaking about when it comes to you in a year from now?
Something completely that we can't predict. I could tell you like my goals for this year, but like it'll be something else. Because that's how the world works. And that's how especially content works. Is there are people I don't know right now who I'm going to meet this year who are going to come to me with things, and those things are going to change my life. And that's what I would say. That's my actual prediction. Yeah. I could tell you my goals, but they're like, it's kind of pointless to tell you them because like, they might come true, but I think something bigger would happen. Something bigger would not be something I could say right now.
You know? Yeah. No, I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Good pod. Let's go.
Fucking good. So before we get out of here, I had to leave you guys with one last gem. That's the sponsor of today's show, Free Agency. Free Agency represents and manages talent in the tech industry. They do this by providing you with a dedicated talent agent that will help you find and win top of market roles. That talent agent is your career quarterback. They understand you and your career goals. They help you get interviews at the firms that you want, and they help you land the salary that works for you. So go to the link in the description, check out Free Agency, thank me later. Peace.